The following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
WTAQ. News, talk, sports, another yucky day on the roads. What's worse than 10 inches of snow? In my opinion, 1 inch of snow. People don't take it seriously. It sneaks up on you. I had a hellish drive-in just before 7 this morning. Roads were a mess. People weren't taking it seriously. Jason, you're what, about a half an hour or so behind me, 40 minutes? About the same thing when you came in. It was bad. And I'll admit, I wasn't prepared for it, but here's the thing. I drive about an eighth of a mile. It's like, oh, this sucks. And I did. And it caught me by surprise. I'm not going to deny that. But then I'm like, okay. I would say maybe 20% of other people driving took the same approach. Everyone else, maybe 60-40. Maybe 60-40. But then you have those who overcompensate and go 8 miles an hour. They, I think, are just as big a hazard as the people who are going too fast. Why can't they all be perfect like us? See? It would just be so grand. If you've been listening to Chuck and even Mike and Matt doing the traffic this morning, ton of accidents out there. So there's still a good chance you'll encounter one. Don't be involved in one, though. It's really slippery out there. It's really deceptive. You know, and they don't get out in the defense of local highway departments and street departments. They can't get out that quickly, especially when you get a light snow. Everybody gets kind of caught by surprise by it. So just be very, very careful out there. Here's a question. What percent of the listening audience to this show, Jason, I'll ask your opinion on this, do you think knows who Katy Perry is? That's a tough question, isn't it? Where would you put that for this audience? You see some information on this show. You have an idea of the typical listener of this show and who does and doesn't listen to this show. What percent of people listening do you think so, huh? I was going to go under 50%. You say 55% know who Katy Perry is. Now, there are degrees of questions there. You could ask, do they know who she is? You're probably right. If you just say, she's a singer. You might get that 55%. What if you say, have you ever heard one of her songs? What do you think it drops down to? Let's see how low Jay's at. 35. Wow, that we are right on. That's exactly what I was going to say. 35%. How many Katy Perry fans do you think there are in the Jerry Bader Show listening audience? You're not going to go zero. A percentage. Oh, total. You think it's low enough where you could give an actual number, huh? Meanwhile, you should be curious at this point why I'm asking about Katy Perry. Is that 10 people or 10%? You think both? Oh, thanks a lot. So 10 people makes up 10% of this listening audience. Or is this 100 people? I don't know. I don't know. 10% is probably as good as any guess. Now, do you have any idea why I'm asking all these questions about Katy Perry? Because she's hot. What percentage of the male audience do you think knows how hot Katy Perry is? Well, I mean, they may have seen her image and went, and have no idea who she is. She also, to me, she's one of those famous people who looks different every photo that I see. They all look great. But they all look, they do, but they all look different. You know what I mean? There's that one with the, what do you call that hairdo? The big, you know what I mean? Like the almost 50s hair that you, the bouffant. Thank you. Jason's like, you notice her hair? So I suppose at this time I should mention why I'm talking about Katy Perry. I had no reason. On to the next thing. I kid. Katy Perry's taking credit for Barack Obama carrying Wisconsin in 2012. I knew I couldn't get through it without laughing. I knew it! Singer Katy Perry has made no secret of her support for President Barack Obama. And in a new interview, she says her help in Wisconsin might have been key to the 2012 election. I might have won Wisconsin for him, Perry said in a new interview with GQ. This, by the way, from Tal Copen at Politico. Actually, I didn't do too much, but he called me a couple of times, which was very nice. Perry performed at pro-Obama rallies, and got out the vote efforts in Wisconsin in the days leading up to the 2012 election. I don't even think I remember her being in the state. Do you? Do you remember that? A big last-minute push by Katy Perry for Barack Obama in Wisconsin? I actually don't. I just don't. You know, so consider this. So she says she believes that she may have won Wisconsin for Barack Obama. She also says that she believes in aliens and wants to ask the president more about the possibility of extraterrestrial life. I look up into the stars and I imagine how self-important are we to think that we are the only life form. You wonder how self-important we're. You think you carried Wisconsin for Barack Obama. By the way, Barack Obama didn't do as well in 2012 as he did in 28 against John McCain. Let's see. I'm going to ask him that. If my relationship with Obama gets any better, I'm going to ask him that question. It just hasn't been appropriate yet. Yeah, how do you approach that? Really, they put her in the Christian genre along with pop, rock, dance, electronic. I would say pop and dance. Isn't that what you think of with Katy Perry? She had one of those songs. We were talking about how hit music stations play songs even more repetitiously than they have in the past. Last Friday night, I have a hard time believing that Blurred Lines got more play than Last Friday Night. Because all I ever heard, I mean, when that song was hot, my kids, of course, tune the state. There's one of two stations in town that they would listen to. One, of course, is ours, 101 WIXX. That's usually on. When I get in any given vehicle, that's the beauty. I'm not going to teach them how to drive a stick because they can't screw the radio in my car. By the way, you know what you call a stick shift in America? Anti-theft device. Do you know what percent can drive a stick? Well, I'll have you take another guess. What percent of Americans do you think can drive a stick shift? You're doing well today. It's 8%. Jason said 10. 8%. Well, you could pretty much leave the keys in a stick shift and you would probably be okay. I don't, but you pretty much could. Of course, they'd burn your clutch out trying, so you would have that expense. But that's the only radio that's safe except for my wife, and I don't have a problem with the stations she puts on. My wife knows how to drive a stick as well. My daughters have been begging me to teach them how to drive a stick. It's like, no, that's okay. That clutch has 130,000 miles on it. There's no reason to desecrate it now. I actually took one of them in a parking lot. You remember, if you know how to drive a stick. See, for me, it's weird. I learned on a stick. I learned on a 3 on the tree, the 54 Chevy pickup. So it's really, I can't imagine a time when I didn't know how to work a clutch. But boy, you either get the feel of it or you don't. And some people just don't. You know, it has to become second nature. You don't think about clutching and shifting. You just do it. Boy, did I digress on that. Anyway, interesting topic, though. I mean, anyway, yeah, so I don't have to worry about it. All right, a couple of things. There is a story in today's paper. In fact, it's interesting. The headline on their webpage is, "Neighboring businesses need not fear Walmart, business expert says." Okay? Now, that's an innocuous enough headline. What do they have? Top fold front page, the local paper today. Death Star or Super Friend? Yeah, well, look, big black bold. Death Star or Super Friend? Yeah. I will say this, though. I'm going to give them a tip of the hat here, because this is something that's going to really rile up the Walmart haters in advance of Walmart's open house, or whatever they're calling it, at 5:30 this evening at the Neville. Because this guy that they talk to is pretty frank. He's pretty blunt. In the industry, Walmart is often referred to as the Death Star, said Stephen Kern, business educator and director of the David F. Miller Retailing Education and Research Center at the University of Florida. That's because they feel, because the feeling is it will destroy local commerce, destroy family businesses. Then he says something that I have tried to say this in one shape, form, or another since this debate first erupted last fall, and he says this very well. If everyone is chugging along, charging the same markup they always have, and Walmart comes in and says, watch this, we can sell it cheaper. What's my response? Kern said. Now, he's referring if he's a small retailer, say, in the Broadway district in Green Bay. He says, what's my response? Do I throw my arms up, or do I look for ways to beat you? You've got to win somewhere, and if you can't think of some way to win, this is going to sound a little harsh, but you probably should go out of business. Oh, wait till they see that in the paper. It's weak to say you don't want Walmart here because they can sell widgets cheaper. If you can't come up with another reason for people to come to your store, price will win. That's the way the market operates. Ho, ho. Them's fighting words. By the way, he has that. That's what you were going to say, Jason. Those are fighting words. He has this exactly right. Exactly right. What do you do when someone comes in and does on a larger scale what you do? If you can't figure out a way to stay in business, then you should go out of business. He's right. That's the way the market works. And this is an age-old question. And it goes beyond even Walmart haters and the current Walmart debate. Should government protect smaller businesses by not allowing larger businesses in? I believe the answer is no. This has come up in the radio industry. When large chains, large radio groups, and by the way, ours is not a large radio group. It's growing, but it's still not one of the big ones in the country. When the Cumuluses and the Clear Channels came in and gobbled everything up, that was seen as horrible. Now, it did get, I'm going to be honest here, it did get rid of a lot of local radio operators. Why? It didn't occur to them how to compete. What can you do that these big guys aren't? I will tell you right now, we're not the biggest group in this market, but we're the dominant one. Why? Because you come up with ways to compete. The easiest thing you can say is, well, big guy came in, there's nothing I can do. Offer something the big guy isn't. Offer services. Do something different. Have a unique selling proposition. And my belief is most of the boutique shops that are bleeping and moaning about this already do. They already have a unique selling proposition that's not going to put them in direct competition with Walmart. And because of that, Walmart is likely to do more good than harm to their business. They refuse to believe that. The reality is many people just don't like the idea of a big store down there. Walmart wants a store that size because their market research tells them that's what will be profitable. But the larger philosophical argument here that this professor gets into, and I don't know how they found this guy. I have no idea what Stephen Kern, business educator and director of the David F. Miller Retailing Education and Research Center at the University of Florida. I don't know how they found him. But I'm really surprised that that they were this, that they put all of this stuff in. Now, he also says, look, Walmart may be convenient, but it doesn't provide what Kern would call a pleasant shopping experience. Some shoppers may not like being in line behind someone with a shopping cart filled with groceries and a 60-inch TV. Smaller, personalized stores can have incense, mood music, an atmosphere that Walmart can't match, and impeccable service. He's giving examples of how you can compete, how you can be different, your unique selling proposition. What would Walmart consider their unique selling proposition? I think it's a compound sentence. You can find everything at very low prices. Would you agree with that, Jason? You can find just about anything you would need in a Walmart Supercenter at very low prices. That seems to be insurmountable, doesn't it? Well, how the hell do I compete with that? Well, they don't offer everything. They offer a lot of things that people need. What do people need, want, desire that you can offer in a way they can't or don't? Walmart won't be on top forever. Someday, someone's going to do it better. Now, if you're saying that it's all about price, yeah, then you're going to have a problem. That is their unique selling proposition, no doubt about it. Speaking of price, there's a story in the paper yesterday that I did not get to. And it echoes something that I pointed out. Why are Northeast Wisconsin school districts seemingly en masse suddenly putting referenda before voters? Green Bay, Howard Suamico, Ashwaubenon, Appleton in February, I believe. Why are they doing that now? They spoke with Dan Rossmiller, did the local paper, director of government relations for the Wisconsin School Board Association. He said, the economy is still not great, but maybe people feel a little better about their jobs or that they're not going to lose their jobs, so voters may feel more comfortable with additional spending. That seems to be what these school districts are banking on, is that people do feel better about the economy right now. They are also making the case that the costs are going to be nominal to none in the case of Green Bay. However, my argument always is, are these things that you should have been planning for all along rather than borrowing for? That's how I measure it, not the cost necessarily on the property tax bill. And that's the way I think voters should look at these as well. It will be interesting to see if these school districts are reading the economic optimism correctly. We now know what Governor Walker plans to do or say tonight anyway. We'll talk about it at 9:06. It's 8:56. What more, what more? All I want to do is just play some more. I can't feel my legs and I probably never did. All I want to do is just dance some more. Are you fed up with $17 trillion in U.S. national debt?